Welcome, Vidya. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, James. It's a joy for me to be here and to share some business tips with our listeners tonight and perhaps engage a few people in a conversation about the end of the year closing and the steps that is needed in order to close out successfully and really position your business for success in 2010. And for those people that have joined the call, I'm interested in knowing who you are and what has prompted you to join the call. So any of you that is on the call right now, if you would like to unmute your phone and let me know where you're calling from, what your name is. And also, if you would mind sharing with me what prompted you to join our call tonight.
Well, it sounds like we have a bit of a shy audience tonight.
Okay, well, you know, I'd like to share a story with our listeners tonight. Some of you may know from meeting me or reading my bio on the PPS website that my education, my formal education, was in counseling psychology. And when I was finishing up my master's degree, I met Dr. David Simon, who was Dr. Chopra, Deepak Chopra's business partner, and we got to talking and realized very quickly that I was the person that they were looking for in order for them to set up a retail operations at the new Chopra Center for Well-Being that they were intending to open in La Jolla. And that was back in 1994. At that time, I had quite a bit of retail experience opening specialty boutiques. I had two particular startups that I had done and had run those boutiques very successfully. And for those of you who have ever been in retail, you know, retail is the process of buying an item for one price and selling it for another. So, you know, I brought those skill sets right into the business, and, you know, the holiday time was a huge time for sales. So within 2 years of my time with the Chopra Center, I had grown the business rather quickly to $750,000. And revenue sales, and, you know, the last 2 months of the year, we brought in, like, you know, $100,000. Mm-hmm. And when I left the Chopra Center, I was with them for almost 3 years, but when I left, I started my own business. And because I had just finished my degree in counseling psychology, and I started to explore the coaching model, and because I had a great deal of success in business, running a business, even though I had no formal training, I began my own business as a lifestyle coach and a small business consultant. Well, I found out the hard way my first year in business that selling services was very different than selling a tangible product. So imagine my shock and my surprise when, as November rolled around, and all of a sudden my clients started to cancel their appointments or defer sessions until after the first of the year. And so my budget that I had counted on and I had strategized, thinking that I was going to have business all the way through the end of the year, basically went into the dump. And it was a real shock for me because all of a sudden I was realizing, oh, my gosh, what happened to my business? So it was a huge wake-up call. And so I've had the experience of running a business, selling services, and in November, December, my business dropped off. So, of course, I did what everybody else did. I went into a panic. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I started chasing down business. Of course, at this time of the year, no one really wants to start a new new engagement because they have family obligations, they have holidays planned and vacations planned, and it was not the right time to start new business, start up with new clients. So here I am, I'm trying to build my business, trying to chase down customers, and the stress levels just started rising. And so it was a real wake-up call. And as a consequence to that early experience, the beginning of my business, I decided that the following year I would do something different. So I started planning for those, that loss in business in the last 2 months of the year. Now, I'm wondering how you, those of you that are on the line or those of you listening to this call, I'm wondering how you do end your business year. You know, some of us, like I did, push against that trickling river, you know, really lamenting how bad business is. And, you know, with many of my clients now who are in service businesses, I hear that same thing. Oh, gosh, it's a terrible time of year. Gosh, my business has really dropped off. I'm really afraid. Well, I know what that was like. I was really afraid at that time, too. And so, you know, I really tried to push that river, you know, my way, which was the wrong thing to do. So instead, I began to take stock about what was going on in my business. And I started reviewing all of my big business progress for the year. I began formulating a new plan for the coming year. And since then, I've realized that November and December are real gifts to the business professional who's in a service business. And you might say, well, how can it be a gift if business has dropped off and you're struggling, right? Well, it's a gift because it provides the opportunity for me to go back and all the things that I kind of put off doing, all the little nagging concerns, all the little hassles, all the things that I was tolerating, now I had time to address them. I have time to resolve some of those concerns, resolve some of those issues, and reposition myself with a fresh start looking into the new year. So why is now the time to do that? Well, if you're like many business owners, you have a massive to-do list of items that you've either ignored or neglected or have continued to put off. So I have determined that the best way to position your business for success in the coming year is by leaving your business problems behind this year. So, of course, that begs the question, what do you do and where do we start? Well, there are several general solutions and specific activities that will contribute to the orderly closing of your business fiscal year. And the number of possible activities that you can engage in prior to the end of the year depends on how well you have managed your own business throughout the year. The closing process is one that can be positively engaged, conducted in a conscientious manner, and is more conducive to resolving those nagging concerns so that you're not dragging them into next year and compounding those problems. So I've identified 10 tips that will help you organize your thinking and prioritize your tasks as you move forward in the process. So let's review what those 10 tips might be. Number one, I feel it's really important to kind of step back and review all of your business systems from top to bottom. And what I mean by that is it's really important for you to get into a quiet place so you can look objectively rather than emotionally being subjective about your business. Especially if it's the first time you've had this experience where business has dropped off, to to carefully examine what's working and what's not. When I think of business systems, I think of a system as a methodical process used as a mechanism for providing specific goods or services to customers in a well-defined marketplace. So using a systems approach, you will want to assess your business strategy, your vision of your business, your mission, your values, your existing policies and procedures, your financial health, including your budgets or your forecasted budget that you should have had this year moving into 2009, and more. And you'll need to decide where your problems are, the problems that you've been experiencing in your business, or what you've been tolerating in your business or putting up with in your business. And that can be anything from a faulty printer or a troublesome computer, a client who is more trouble than worth, refining your policies and procedures to reflect your growth or just refining them, or bringing your outmoded website up to date. And you'll have to determine what you can do to fix the problems or if you need additional help.
Vidya?
Yes.
I have a quick question. Now, there's a you talked about a lot of different, and of course, every business has a lot of different systems in place. But you talked about business strategy and budgeting and financial health and more. Do you find that there is any one area that's probably a major source of difficulties or challenges? One that they might you might recommend to clients that they start with? Is there a place that might be a good place to prioritize?
A starting place is when I'm talking about systems, and particularly strategic systems, I like them to review their vision, their values, and their mission.
Okay.
And the reason is because that's the foundation for all the strategy that informs the should have been business plan and marketing plan, your operational plan. And those strategies also inform your policies and procedures. They also inform your budgets, okay? They also inform how you deal with your own clients or your customers and any vendors that you have partnered with or, you know, have relationships with. So that's why I like to start from a systems point of view. Let's start at the foundation and work our way through. So oftentimes when I'm working with clients and it's the end of the year and we're getting ready to look at what has worked and what hasn't worked in the year, and does it align and match with your current vision of your business? How far off the mark are we? So I ask my clients to review their business vision. Is it still viable? Is it still exciting? Are you still passionate, or has it changed? Because you know that as soon as we fulfill particular goals, the gaps open up, and they beg us to fill it with a new vision of what is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. I feel like it's like so foundational that it's really, really important, because business changes. It's like a river. You know, the currents will flow faster, and then they may dry up. And so if we haven't thought our strategy all the way through, we may come up with some real serious surprises, or we may say, gee, you know, I've realized everything here, but there are new opportunities. So aside from reviewing the vision, the values, and the mission, it's a good idea at this time of the year to do a SWOT analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you can't assume that just because you've had a certain system in place that it's still adding value to your business. You really need to take a look at it. And so I like to kind of pull apart the business, all the nuts and bolts that are holding that foundation together, and kind of tease it apart here and see really what's working and what's not, what needs to be updated, what needs to be let go of that no longer serves the business. So a system review can be a really eye-opening experience for business owners. So that's the first thing that I start with. Let's review all the systems. Let's review how you run your business. Let's see what's really working. And then we move to the business strategy. And because a lot of solo entrepreneurs or business managers or people who are in business for themselves with a service business, they're preoccupied often with the most immediate issues at hand. They wear many different hats in their business, and so they're juggling a lot already. And so they oftentimes, in my experience working with clients, that, you know, they're very focused on the immediate issue at hand, but they need to be able to step back because they've lost sight of their ultimate objectives. Okay? An example of that might be that a client has a vision to bring their service to a particular population of in the marketplace, say. Say I'm working with an educational consultant who has a coaching service for middle school and teens to upgrade their learning possibilities. So it's like a private institution where the kids can go and they can get help with homework and upgrade their basically their learning skills. In an example of like something like that, then we would want to look at and see, does that foundation that they've set up, has it served its purpose? Does it serve the framework for decisions? Has it provided a basis for more detailed planning? Does the business process inform and motivate and involve your customers and your vendors? Does it assist you in benchmarking and performance monitoring? And does it stimulate change and become the building block for the next plan? So with that particular business, that client, we may want to sit down and really look at your hours of operation, your peak hours of operation. When are they? Because they may say, well, I'm open from business from 10 a.m. to 7 o'clock in the evening. But when we look at the analysis, we may see that really business doesn't even happen for them until 2 in the afternoon, from 2 to 9, because you're getting a lot of requests. You're closing at 7, but you have a lot of requests coming in for business from 8 to 9, from 7 to 9, say. And so you want to be able to readjust, but you need the data. You need to have the information. And so with the solo entrepreneur, the solo business owner that's wearing a lot of hats, they just might feel so overwhelmed trying to run the business and keep up with things and then deal with the fear of, oh, my gosh, there's no business here. What do I do next? That as a small business consultant, I provide those kind of a fresh perspective in being able to get a handle on what is working, what's not working within the strategy, and where do we need to tweak it, change it, refine it, rebuild it if we need to. Then the third thing that I really encourage during this time of year is determine who your best customers are. Many years ago, I was working with this one company who they had a very good company. They had a lot of business, and they were in the black, and business was rolling along, and they hired me to help them write a marketing plan for them. And when I went in and I asked them, who are your best customers, they thought their best customers were a group of people. That's what they thought. You know, a particular type of people. They were selling their services to attorneys and to physicians' offices and things like that. So they thought their best customers were the attorneys. Well, when we did the analysis, We found out that their best customers were not the attorneys, they were the insurance people. And so that was a huge eye-opener, because then that informed us that our strategy, or the strategy that they were using to market to the attorneys, was not bringing back as much revenue as they were putting into that marketing strategy, and they were missing the population that could actually increase their business in the next year. So we kind of, we had to shift where we were putting our focus with our market. So you'll need to examine all of your customers through a profitability lens. And what does that mean? You need to really look at where is your profit margin with that particular customer. Now, as a small business coach and consultant, many of my current customers and clients are coaches that work in the fitness world or along those lines. And so we have great customers, right? They have great customers. They have great clients. And I hear it all the time when I'm talking to my clients. Oh, I love this particular client. Okay, but let's look at that client or that customer with a more discriminating eye. How much time do you spend with that customer or that client? Do you put in extra time that you do not charge for that customer or that client? Why do you do that? And why don't you charge for your time? So, and often what I'll hear is, oh, but they're so nice. I just love them. You know, they bring me gifts, you know, when we see each other in our session, and oh, and, you know, they don't have very much money, and I really want to help them. And, you know, so for me, as a small business consultant, that's a little bit of a red flag. You know, it's great that you really love your customer. It's great that your client really loves you. But it is a bit, the time that you're spending, the extra resources that you're giving them, does it bring you a profit? And oftentimes it does not. And that's often a real shocker as well. You know, I really feel for people when they really realize, oh my gosh, I'm spending, you know, what I think I'm charging them for my hour, I'm actually spending 3 hours to that 1 hour. You know, spending the extra time, looking up resources for them, doing extra things for that one person. So then we need to look at that in terms of your budget. You know, if you're spending 3 hours but you're only charging them for one, you are not creating profitability for yourself. So that's the profitability lens that I'm speaking of. So just because you always seem to be doing something for certain customers doesn't mean that they're the ones that are most profitable. During my own end-of-the-year review, I often find that my needy clients and my most profitable clients are distinctly two different groups. Once you find out who your best customers are, you'll want to really give them the VIP treatment, okay? And for me, my value set is that when I'm working with them, that they're not demanding more of my time than they're willing to pay for, and I have good boundaries in place, and I inform them that if they would like more of my time, that it's going to increase our fee together. Then the next aspect, once you've gone through that process and you say, okay, these are my best customers. Boy, they always pay on time. I don't have to chase down my money. They pay up front. It's very easy to work with them. It's not like I have to really drag them along. Now that you know who they are, I really recommend at this time of the year, this is the time that you send them a note of appreciation and let them know how much you've appreciated their business. But there's also something else that you can do. You can ask them for constructive feedback. How has your experience been with me as your coach this year? How has our business together worked for you? Can you be specific about anything in my service that I provide for you that you find of extreme value? You want to create that bidirectional conversation and get their feedback, because that can be used as a testimonial for the coming year, and it's fresh. So I really encourage you to take a time out and to really look at who are your customers and your clients, who are your best ones, and really touch base with them. Next, I encourage you to review your marketing campaign. Okay? The end of the year is a great time to take a look at which marketing efforts are driving your business and which are not. And when we're talking about marketing, there's lots of different facets. When I say marketing, it's like including how you present yourself in the market, your marketing materials, your collateral materials, including your business card and your website. I'm also talking about how you do your promotional work, whether you do any kind of PR or whether you're doing advertising anywhere. So hopefully during the year you've kind of kept track of your different marketing campaigns and the different processes involved in those campaigns and have created benchmarks so you can actually measure your success. At the end of the year, it's good to get all that data out and actually review it. You might be surprised to find that different campaigns, marketing campaigns and PR campaigns, work better at certain times of the year. Or, you know, you've used certain string of words or very important words that convey kind of a call to action. Some might have gotten better results than other. Well, this is a good time and really look at what have you done, what hasn't worked, and what is working for you. Then next, you know, along with that, it's a really good idea to take a look at all of your marketing materials in concert if you have a website. Are all your colors being branded? Is the look and feel harmonious? In your website, have you made improvements? Have you posted new articles? Is there fresh content? I know that currently we're the PPS team is currently working on with another group right now who's developing a new, fresh new look and feel for our PPS website. And I think it's absolutely imperative that we create a sense of freshness and newness each year. Maybe it doesn't have to be so radical as what we're doing now, but it allows people to feel like that when they visit your site again, it's interesting that you've paid attention. All the links work, both internally and outbound, that there's fresh content, something exciting and something new that can be of added value for anyone coming to your website. So now's the time to do it. If you have the time, it's better to do it now while you're in this process. Mm-hmm. On the back side of that, it's a good idea to also consider what technological upgrades you can make to your business at this time. And if you need that new printer, if you need to upgrade your computer or a new phone system or get that software that's going to help you better manage your business, get it. Now's the time to do it. It's by doing that, it will help you to run your business more smoothly. If you're at a place where you've identified what you need to do, then but you don't quite have all the money in place yet, well, good. That's when we can put it into the forecast budget for the coming year. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. So that technology upgrade can make a huge difference in your life. I know I'm very, very excited because I'm getting a new MacBook here, and the technicians are currently working on it, so I'm very, very excited. And I'm so excited because I got everything that I asked for that to help me run several businesses. I have QuickBooks 2009 installed on it. I have the entire Adobe suite on there, so I can do anything in publishing. I'm so excited because it's my tool and I'm just so excited. And I just bought myself a new iPhone, so that can be very easily synced with this new system. So I have a technological upgrade happening in my own life, and I'm just really excited because it's going to make my life that much easier and myself and my own services that much more efficient. So I'm really excited about that. Now, okay, that stuff that you can do, looking at the systems and looking at the processes in your business, but what about just managing and handling all the clutter? Okay, now is the time to reorganize your files in your office. And I'm guilty of it here. I'm so busy with Paul and with my own clients and with running several businesses that in my office here I've got, it's very neat, but there's piles. And so I'm really looking forward to my downtime at the end of this year here and going through all of my files, throwing things out, reorganizing all my files. I do it every year, and I'm so happy. It just makes me feel so light inside because my mind is at peace. I am a firm believer that our environment creates our mental peace. So when I can look out in my office and I see things that are orderly and things are put away and it's spacious, then my mind becomes spacious, and I just have more of my mind available as a tool rather than being distracted by any kind of clutter that or chaos that might be around me. So I really encourage you to take the time and just organize yourself, organize your client files, organize your business files, and create the space where the creative and positive and energy can really manifest in your workspace. Okay, now for the financial stuff. This is the time, and I usually start with my clients way before now. We're in December now. But when I'm working with my clients, we do this. We start this process back in September or early October, okay, the beginning of the quarter. Now is the time to get your financial books in order. And for some small business owners, this is really difficult, while for others it's a breeze. I'm the kind of business person who I like to stay on top of my accounting. I use accounting software like QuickBooks. It makes it very, very, very easy. My life is so much easier now that I use QuickBooks than I have since I started my business more than 11 years ago. So, but a lot of my newer clients who are a little bit younger, who are not so business savvy, do not use a computer accounting software, so they just have, usually piles of receipts that they haven't entered anywhere yet, and so they have no idea, really, how they're doing in their business. All they know is I'm making X amount of dollars off this one client, and my expenses are this. They don't know really if they're making a profit or not. They're able to get by every month. They might have a little bit extra, but they really don't know. And so now is the time to, if you haven't done it or if you've neglected in being current, is to sit down and actually enter all your receipts into a ledger that is usable that you can turn over to an accountant. And it's a real, real important part of running your business, and it's a must-do to get this step done. Again, I really recommend to small business owners that you invest in accounting software like QuickBooks, and I recommend QuickBooks over Quicken because it's just the premier small business program, and it's just so easy to use, and it spits out reports, and you can reconcile it with your bank, and most banks you can download your statements right into the software program, and it just makes your life so much easier rather than this long and laborious thing. Now, I'm not a tax person. I don't really know taxes. I hire a CPA to do my taxes in April. And actually, with my accountant now, we've set it up so that I'm paying all my taxes quarterly. I don't wait to the, you know, April, you know, 15th deadline to pay taxes. I do it all year round. But that's because I'm an independent professional and I manage my own business. I'm not an employee, even though I work with Paul and I work with Penny here at the Check Institute. I am an independent contractor. I'm not an employee. So it's really important that you determine your financial position. And what I mean is that it's important for you to assess where your business is now relative to the previous year and in keeping in mind what your financial projections are moving into the new year. So there are three key areas that you really need to pay attention to. Number one is the balance sheet, and the balance sheet is a summary of how your business is doing at any particular point in time. Like, so I review my balance sheet every month. It shows all of your business assets, liabilities, and equity. And for those of you who are on the line or are listening to this, you can download the handout that I created, which is basically just a balance sheet, and just to give you an idea of how to assess. So what you're doing is you're assessing your assets with against the liability, and that tells you your equity. So you have current assets would be cash in the bank, petty cash, accounts receivable, any inventory you might have, and any prepaid expenses. And when I say prepaid expenses, those are expenses that you might have paid up front for. So say if you're renting an office space, if you paid all of the rent up front for the entire year, that's considered a prepaid expense. Okay, where if you're paying rent on a month-to-month, then that's considered a liability. Okay, and you would want to total your current assets. And then you would want to look at your fixed assets because there's always a depreciation issue there. So what are your fixed assets? That might be your furniture that you have in your office or any equipment that you have, any improvements to anything, any structural improvements or anything like that. If you have an automobile that you use for your business, that's considered a fixed asset. And all of those assets have a depreciation, means that they've lost value through the years. So we want to look at that and account for that. And then that gives you your total asset number. Whereas your liabilities include your accounts payable, which is all of your bills, basically. Your notes payable, anything that you've agreed on, any loans to make, any interest, your state tax, your federal income tax, your self-employment tax. So, for instance, as I mentioned, I pay my taxes on a quarterly basis. I pay federal and self-employment tax and state tax every quarter. If you have any kind of medical insurance that you pay into, that's considered a liability. A number of my clients have past tax liability. They're still paying taxes from previous years because they didn't manage themselves well. And so that's a regular expense. Some people pay into a retirement fund or an IRA or a pension. And so that's considered a liability. As I mentioned, your rent, your utilities, and anything that's due on a regular basis is considered a liability. And you want to total that. And then you want to look at your long-term liabilities. If you own the building where your office is or anything like that, then you would be paying a mortgage. And any long-term loans. And a long-term loan is considered anything over 5 years. And then you total all of that. So, and then your equity is all of your earnings, and you look at all of your earnings against the liability and your assets, and then you get a pretty good picture of your financial health and how your business is actually doing. Your equity includes your earnings, your net worth, which means the capital that you originally put into your business, any draws that you took out of the business. So if you're paying yourself, which I pay myself each month from the income that I have generated with my clients, I pay myself, and that's considered an owner draw. Any retained earnings or any current earnings are all part of that equity picture. So you want to look at all of that, and that gives you a pretty good understanding of where you are financially and how healthy you are and where you at to position yourself, okay? So that's just the balance sheet. But we want to also look at the income statement. This lets us glance at whether or not your business is profitable at a particular point in time by itemizing your revenue and your expenses, resulting in a profit or loss. So, for instance, with me, the majority of my business is that in the revenue that I make is through business consulting. But I have a small portion of my business that revenue is generated through counseling services. Okay, I have a handful of clients who see me on a regular basis, and they see me for life skills, for psychological counseling, not business related. Okay, so I have two distinct services that I offer my clients. I've got the business consulting, and I've got the counseling coaching service. And I can tell you right now that 90% of my business is the business consulting, and the other 10% is my counseling service. But for some of my clients who have a service business, they might offer a number of varieties of services. So, for instance, I work with a number of check-trained professionals. Some are in the corrective exercise business, and some are holistic lifestyle coaches. Okay, and with holistic lifestyle coaches, you can break up many of those various services with very distinct models for bringing in revenue. So we would want to take a look at that, okay? If you're a holistic life coach and you're check trained and you're offering holistic lifestyle coaching, well, you might have part of your service that you do group speaking and you charge a fee for. You might have one-on-one clients that you're working with. You might have different kinds of packaging for those clients. Might be, you know, I'm offering a coaching package where we get on the phone once a week for a half an hour, as opposed to actually meeting with you for an hour or an hour and a half per month. And so those different packages, then we tease them apart and we want to take a look at them. Which of these packages is bringing you the most income? That's an example of itemizing that particular revenue, and then we would look at those expenses related to running that particular package and the result in profit and loss. Then the next thing that we would want to look at is the cash flow statement, which reconciles your opening cash with your closing cash for a particular period. And I like to do that on a quarterly basis, not just on a yearly basis. But for you, some of you who don't do it on a quarterly basis, now's the time to do that. That will help you formulate, you know, your understanding of where your money has gone. And in order to prepare a simple cash flow statement, you would want to list and summarize your business cash flow inflows and outflows for each of the three following areas. And those are operating activities, where you have revenue and expenses related to the operation of your business, meaning your overhead. It costs me so much money to run my business, to have an office here, to run my computer, to pay for my phone, and all of that in order to work with clients. So you have your expenses and you have your revenue there. You have investing activities, maybe assets that are purchased and sold. Okay. One of my clients, no longer a client, but my past client, he was an investor broker, and one of his hobbies was that he would buy and sell racehorses as an investment activity. So that was something that was assessed every year. You know, how much money did it cost to buy this, you know, $100,000 horse, and what does it cost to maintain the horse? What does it cost to enter him into races? What does it cost to, you know, pay the jockey? What does it cost to house the horse? What does it cost with the bet, you know? And has he won any races? See, so we want to look at stuff like that. And then, of course, we want to always look at whatever loans you've taken out for your business and where you're at with your repayment, okay? Because there's always interest on loans. And so we want to pay down the principal quickly. So well, that's one of the things that I do with my clients when we're looking at the financial health of the company. If you've taken out loans, are you maintaining your payments on those, and are you paying against the principal, or are you only paying interest, which is not a smart way to pay off loans. Okay, there's a couple more items here that are also important outside of the finances and looking at your strategy, and these are kind of very practical. So you want to evaluate your goals from last year. Now that you know how your business is performing, it's time to take a look at how it got where it is today. So this goes back to planning again. Planning, goal setting, am I achieving my objectives? For those that do have business plans or any other planning documents, including action plans, now is the time to pull them out and review them. Okay, did you make your benchmarks? Did you achieve your goals? Did your business accomplish what you set out for it to do this year? And why or why not? We want to know the whys on that. It's really important. So you want to kind of look at that, and you want to, you know, make notes as you're going through the process here to look at what was successful and what was not, so that you can redo your goals for the coming year. And since New Year's is always the time for resolutions and a fresh start, that's why I really encourage you to do it before the New Year. So that when you move into the new year and people are ready to come back and work with you and you're ready to fully engage in your business because people are just back at work again and back in their lives, holidays are over, you go into the new year with a lot of confidence that your foundation is very clear, very clean, you've done your back-end work, and you're ready to now create your new plan for the coming year. So you want to really assess and really come to a peace inside yourself of understanding, knowing that you learned something in the past year. But what was it that you learned? And another thing that I ask my clients is, have you taken time for you? You know, we all know that creativity and new ideas cannot come from an empty well. So now that I've gone over the groundwork, now we're ready to do some real business planning to position the business for further success in 2010. So we want to set next year's SMART goals, and we know what SMART stands for: specific, measurable, attainable, realistic and timely. So we want to really create SMART goals. Again, I like to chunk down business processes for review every quarter, not just every year. But every business owner is different. That's my preference. Then as you're making your goals, we can now begin to develop accurate financial projections. And this is like one of my favorite things I actually like to do with clients, because every small business will need to make reliable financial projections when moving into the next fiscal year. If you plan on 50% revenue growth during the next year, you'll need to demonstrate how that growth will happen. And forecasting is critical at many stages of the company's life, when you're looking for financing or when you want to gauge the potential profitability of a new product or service. You've got to kind of map it out, and the best way to do it is through a forecast budget. When you want to see the impact of expansions or cutbacks, or when you need to assess other important business decisions, the forecasting budget is the way to go. So coming up with reliable projections is not guesswork. It's very tangible. It's very concrete. If I sell X amount of services packages at this price point, I'll make X amount of dollars. If I sell, you know, three times that much, I'll make this amount of money. But then you want to look at what is it going to take for you time-wise and with resources in order to do that. So you have to compare and contrast again, but you put it down on paper, and it gives you a pretty accurate projection of what the potential is. So it requires, you know, one to really look at what's happening in the marketplace right now, what's happening with economic trends. You know, trends come and go, and so people's interests wane and wax as well. So understanding what the economic trends are, particularly in your own market, meaning the marketplace in which you are gleaning your clients from or that you're providing services for, it's real important that those business assumptions come up as reasonable and practical. And by building out different financial outcomes for your business, you can get a more accurate picture of revenues that you can expect over the next quarter or next year. And then this is the time when you allow for the end-of-the-year slowdown if you're in a service industry. You would really want to focus on building up a reserve so that next year, when you hit that November-December slump in your business, that you've already projected that things are going to slow down, that you have money set aside that's going to carry you through these months so that you can really be at peace knowing that you've done your very best running your business this year. There's no fault for you because your business has dropped off. People are just doing what people do, taking holiday and having vacations. But you have taken care of yourself and you've taken good care of your business, and this is how you go about doing that. And then lastly, make an appointment to meet with your accountant. Taxes and business planning go hand in hand. And now is the perfect time of the year to meet with your accountant to evaluate your current tax strategy and plan your taxes. So, for instance, as my business grew, and as I said, I pay my taxes quarterly, and I don't wait to the big end of the year because I'm an independent contractor. I have my own business. So what happened was originally when I would wait a full year to pay my taxes, I always had this balloon payment to pay taxes with, right? After I did my expenses and my deductions and things like that, I always had some tax that I had to pay. Well, I decided that I didn't want to do that, so I decided that I wanted to, and I talked with my accountant, and he said, well, you're in a tax bracket now where it's probably smarter for you to pay quarterly, and it is, and so I just do it up front. And so he has really guided me in a way that I can better position myself tax-wise so I don't have to have it be such a huge liability for my business. So you'll be really, really glad that you did if you follow these 10 steps to really going on in your business to give it your full attention. It can be overwhelming, I know. There's so many facets of running a business, but it's important that you take care of yourself first, and you don't have to make yourself crazy looking for new business when your business slows down. You just create the space for it, and clients will appear after the first of the year. Everybody is very ready to, you know, get back to work at the beginning of the year. The clients always fill up very, very quickly. It's the new year. I want to do something different. I know I can't do it alone. I can hire out. So you might even be amazed at how liberated you feel if you follow these steps and you just put your attention to your business. And by engaging actively in the fiscal business year end process, you will be participating in your own business's success through grounded, realistic information. And as a bonus, you might even be surprised at how much more smoothly your business will run next year, especially if your business typically experiences a slowdown, as I mentioned, at the end of the year. It's a great feeling to know that when you're planning for the new year, that your planning is smart and that you will be eager to replicate it each year thereafter. So with that, I really wish all of you inspired business success in 2010. And for anyone that's on the line, I'm willing to answer any questions as well. And maybe, James, you have a question as well.
Well, I do, and if our callers don't have questions right now, I do have a question. We talked a little bit about this earlier, and I can see kind of the answer in to the question, but you know, when you're working with clients and they're in this position of being afraid, you know, I imagine it can be very difficult to get your client to a point where they're calm and relaxed and can think about the, you know, think about the process of review, right, rather than worrying about that sale. How do you get a client to that point? If some of our listeners are at that point themselves, what would you tell them if they were kind of in the grips of this fear about the dip in sales?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a common fear. We talked about it previous to the call, and, you know, I really empathize with people who go through that experience. And the reason why I do empathize is because I've gone through that experience myself, as I mentioned at the beginning of the call. And what I can tell people who, if it's a first-time experience or if it's an ongoing experience but they don't understand why they keep having this experience, is that the opportunity is for them to let go of the judgments about there's something wrong with them, that they've done something wrong, or it's, you know, that they haven't run their business quite right. Because they didn't anticipate this, right? That it does no good to keep feeding the fear. Fear only begets more fear, more anxiety, more depression. So it does no good to energize that. So instead, let's reframe the slowdown as an opportunity. Here is the opportunity to put your attention back into your business and refine, review, reassess what has worked, what it hasn't worked, and let's get you positioned for success, okay? We can replicate your successes. We don't want to replicate the problems, because the problems, if they are not managed or resolved now, are only going to be compounded as you move into the new year. They just will follow you right in. It's not that they just magically disappear, because problems don't do that in business. They just get bigger. So I paint a picture for my clients that if you don't manage the problem now, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and there will be a snowball effect. Now, I have to capitalize on that fear because that's what they're feeling, right? But at the same time, I also show them that if we put our heads together, if we look at the business and do some reassessment and review and refinement now, the relief that they'll feel by doing that, that peace of mind, that sense of completeness, of finishing out the year in a way that brings completeness instead of bringing the baggage forward, will actually help them in the long run, not only for the next year, but most likely for the next 3 to 5 years as well. And then that becomes an exciting. It's an exciting right. process to be able to turn your attention into your business and see what can you do to improve it, how you can be a better partner to yourself and to your business. And by doing so, you become a better leader in your industry as a service provider, as a business leader. And therefore, you can become a role model for others. And most of my clients like that approach a whole lot.
I bet.
Yep. I'm not one that likes to be burdened with a lot of problems.
No.
I like solutions.
Yeah.
And so if I've created a problem in my business due to neglect, well, that doesn't feel very good to me. Because then,
right.
you know, I've got to shoulder all of that responsibility. I've only done it to myself.
Sure.
So,
well, and
I'm looking for the solution, how I can be a better partner, not only to myself and to my business, but also help my clients become better partners in their own businesses. So
yeah.
that they actually create the success outcomes that they envision for themselves.
I imagine, too, I mean, I really liked what you said about early on reviewing your vision and reviewing your mission, because when you're stuck in that spot of being scared, it's very easy to lose sight of what brought you to the business in the first place. And hopefully that's a real passion, and hopefully it emanated from your values. And so reviewing, starting with that review of your mission and starting with that review of you know, what your business is about and your passion, I think is a great place to start, in part as a remedy for that fear as well, because it does, it puts you back in touch with what drove you to start that business in the first place.
Absolutely. I was meeting with a client the other day, and, you know, I had this client do a SWOT analysis. That's why the SWOT analysis is so powerful.
Mm.
She really did a great job, you know, very thorough. But as I went through it, there were various themes that were emerging in the threat and the weakness area.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very fear-based. And in several areas, I said, you know, I really encouraged her. Now is the time that you print out the vision of what's possible, your North Star, your dream.
Mm-hmm.
Print it out on paper in big letters. Post it where you can see it, connect with it on a daily basis, because that's what provided you the motivation to do what you're doing. And if
yeah.
you focus on the love, if you focus on your dream, if you focus on that vision of what's possible in terms of what's causing your business to be, that re-enthuses and re-motivates and fall in love once again.
Yeah.
Or rise in love, as Paul would say. You know?
Right.
But there's the opportunity, and that's why I love the visioning work, and I think it's very important that business owners revisit their vision each year, because it may change slightly.
Yeah.
If it does, then rewrite that vision yeah. for that year. And,
mm-hmm.
again, print it out in big letters, post it, look at it. Put it in places where you can see it every day, and become re-enthused. Share it with your own clients.
Yep.
You know, do your clients know your own business vision? Do they know what your core values are, your core business values? Do they understand what your mission is? If not, this is a good time then to, once you review all of that, refine it, rewrite it if you need to share that with them, especially when you're connecting with your clients or your customers, as I suggested earlier, you know, writing them that little note of appreciation or thank you for your business. And, you know, by the way, you know, my business vision is, and my core values are, and my mission in my business is. And by sharing that, you will enroll and ensure that your clients are aligned with you in creating that very beautiful outcome.
And when it works, it is a beautiful outcome.
Yeah.
One final question, too. Now, we talked, or I should say, you talked a lot about sort of these end-of-the-year reviews in the context of a service-oriented business. But suppose some of our listeners are involved in a kind of retail business, no matter how big or small. I imagine all of these review processes that you've been describing, even though they may not be feeling a pinch at the end of the year, are certainly valuable review processes to go through as well.
Yeah, you've made a really valuable point there. These tips that I've presented tonight are not just for people who are in the service industry of any type or they have a business where they provide just services. It's for any business, whether you're selling tangible products or you're selling intangible service. It's really valuable to do that. You must be able to assess how well you are doing. And all of the business systems and all of the support processes, I mentioned briefly, you know, policies and procedures and, you know, looking at your customers and identifying who's who. You need to do that regardless because business shifts and change.
Yep.
And unless we are aware of what we've already positioned or how we positioned ourselves or the support documents like our policies and procedures, do they still work for our business? Do they still work for our processes, our business processes? Do they really serve our customers? Do they really serve us? Now's a good time to reassess that. You know, Paul says a lot, because, you know, a lot of the people that, you know, seem to ask him questions are, you know, either personal trainers or holistic coaches or something like that. And, you know, he's always encouraging you to really look at and assess where you at in your rhythm, you know, what works for you. You know, identify for yourself what works for you in your values. And so that you can align to, you know, the highest potential of your ability to give to other people. Well, you know, very often the main thing that people come back and say is like, gee, oh my, you know, my clients only want to see me in the morning and I'm really not a morning person. And he says, well, don't start work until 10 o'clock in the morning then or later, whatever, work it out so it works for you. You know, and that's really important. This is the time of year to look back and say, okay, you know, did I make some sacrifices this year? Is my preference really to start work later in the day? Or, you know, is my clientele really primarily in the morning? And then make adjustments that's better suited for you. And so taking care of yourself first. I can't emphasize it enough. You know, a lot of business leaders are codependent leaders. You know, they're really dependent upon their clients, directing them in terms of their hours and how much time they're going to spend and this and that. And I feel like it's really important that each business leader and each business owner get really clear for themselves what works for them first. Because if it works for them first, they're going to have the creativity, the energy to work with you, whether they're selling a product or whether they're selling their service. You've got to put I before we, before you can serve all. And so I really encourage all of you to take really good care of yourself this season, especially moving into the new year, and position yourself for ultimate success in 2010. Be good to yourself, be good to your clients, be good to your business.
Well, thank you, Vidya, for talking with us tonight. Before we close, are there any questions from our audience? All right, then. Well, once again, Vidya, that was just an invaluable call. Speaking as somebody that's done freelance work for some time, I can see so many places where I can implement all of your suggestions myself. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know that many of our listeners in the future, people who will be downloading the recording, will be thanking you as well.
Well, thank you, James. I've really enjoyed my time with you all, and wishing you guys the very best of success as you review your businesses and move into 2010.
And I will definitely encourage anybody who feels as though they can benefit from Vidya's coaching to visit her mentor profile on our website at www.ppssuccess.com, and you can find her profile in the PPS Mentoring Services section once you're there.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, Vidya, and thanks for everybody.
Have a good night.
I will. Thank you, and thanks for everybody to join us. Good night.
Bye for now. Good night.